Hey, thank you for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it. I hope you are all being uplifted and staying safe at home. If you wouldn't mind, please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this time and to be able to come together, and that you help us and guide us and to focus in your word and to understand it. And thank you for this lesson that has been provided for to us so that we can take as much as we can from it and apply it in our own lives and be able to share it so that we can be the best examples we possibly can be. We also ask that you be with those that are sick and traveling, and also for this, those that are in leadership positions throughout the United States to make the right decisions so we can all come together and be safe, and that this shelter in place will end soon so we can go back to our normal lives as it was before, and to be able to take from all this the things that we missed and always want to learn and grow from these times, to know that we can fellowship with one another soon and to be able to uplift each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello and good morning, and good Lord's Day to you. It's good to be with you and your families on this Sunday morning. This is Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day is a national holiday to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice to secure the freedom that we enjoy and exercise as we worship and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good and necessary to have a holiday like this that's intended to keep us connected to our past and remind us of who we are and where we've come from. In the Bible, we find memorials with a similar purpose, to remind us of what God has accomplished in the past and throughout history. One of the memorials we find in the Old Testament, one of the first memorials, is actually the rainbow. And rainbows, naturally, they're beautiful. They're exciting to behold. I don't know about you, but I've seen double rainbows and some unique rainbows in the sky. And it's always kind of exhilarating and exciting to see. But God made the rainbow, actually, not just to behold and appreciate, but also as a meaningful memorial. God intends for us to remember He will never destroy the world again by floodwaters every time we see a rainbow. We find this in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 12 and following. God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life." Notice, as we go on into verse 16, God says He will see the rainbow and He will remember. Therefore, the rainbow is a memorial to God, as well as a gift of a memorial for us to remember God's promise. Genesis 9 and verse 16 reads, "Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." Of course, God has kept His promise. So the next time you see a rainbow or I see a rainbow, we need to be reminded that it's a memorial from God, that we might remember He'll never destroy this earth as we know it by flood. Another memorial we find in the Old Testament is the Passover. And we find this this account and this history in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 21. The Passover meal and the rituals the Jews observed under the Old Covenant was a memorial meant to help them remember how God kept His promise and powerfully delivered them from bondage and slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. We start reading in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 21. "Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out the door of your house until morning." We continue in verse 23. "When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the tops and the sides of the door frame and will pass over the doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and to strike you down. Obey these instructions, a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants." Verse 25, "When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' In other words, why are we doing this? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron." So God intended for that Passover meal to be an ongoing Memorial Day, if you will. He said, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance, as an ongoing memorial for you and your descendants. God wanted this great deliverance provided by his mighty hand to be remembered, and to be remembered for generations to come. "When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised," he said, "observe this ceremony. When the children ask, explain to them the significance of the memorial of the Passover meal." When we find God delivering his people through the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 4 and starting in verse 1, we find another example of a memorial. "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.' These insignificant stones, as they were laying in the bed of a river, suddenly became significant because God said so. And because these stones God commanded to be carried over to the other side of the river would serve as a memorial. They serve as a memorial for God's people to remember their deliverance across the Jordan River by God's mighty hand and God's mighty arm, remembering God's power and his provision for his people every time they would see these stones on the other side of the river. Joshua chapter 4, and starting in verse 4, we read, "So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? In verse 7, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." And in fact, they're still a memorial to us as we read this historical account of God's work throughout history. In the New Testament, we find a memorial that God has given us, the Lord's Supper. We read in Matthew chapter 26 and starting in verse 26, where the Lord's Supper is instituted, if you will, by Jesus. We read, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He goes on in verse 29 to say, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. So Jesus, using the simple emblems of unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, used those simple emblems, those simple items that God has created, of course, for us to remember and have this memorial. And even for us, roughly 2,000 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, to partake of the Lord's Supper and remember that God loves us so much. He was willing to send his Son to die on the cross for our sins, taking the punishment upon himself that we deserve, because Jesus, we know, was tempted in every way and yet was without sin. We remember that Jesus' innocent blood was shed on our behalf for us, the guilty ones, and that his body was given as we partake of the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread, which represents his body. In a few minutes, we'll partake of the Lord's Supper together, and we'll look at another scripture in 1 Corinthians that relates to partaking of the Lord's Supper in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to God. I thank you for your attention and your participation in this Bible class or Bible message this morning, and I pray that you have a blessed day. So when we think about the Lord's Supper as a memorial, and as we just read, we look back at Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, if you will. We also have an account of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and starting in verse 23, giving instructions and expounding on us as Christians partaking of the Lord's Supper, our mindset and what our heart set should be at the time we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we start there reading, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you," Paul says. "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In verse 25, he goes on to say, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." In verse 28, he says, "A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Now let's think together for a minute about what Paul just said. What Paul is saying is, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, or before we do, we need to have the right focus and mindset. For one thing, we need to be looking back, if you will, and remembering the crucifixion of Christ on the cross and his great sacrifice, that blood that was shed and his body that was given and sacrificed on our behalf. We look back remembering that Christ bore our sins on the cross. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, and starting in verse 24 and on into verse 25, "He himself," referring to Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed." So we look back, remembering that it's by his wounds, the wounds of Christ, that we're now healed, that we experience forgiveness and spiritual healing. Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 25, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." So we look back and remember that sacrifice. We remember what he's done for us in the present as well, in the here and now, as we look inward and examine ourselves before we partake. And then finally, we also, as Paul pointed out, we look forward. as Paul said, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, until he comes back in the future. Jesus said to give us comfort in John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said that in person at the time to his disciples, to comfort them. But these words are here to comfort us as well. He goes on to say, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I would not have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you." I'm sorry. "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So let's keep these scriptures in mind and the very words of Jesus himself in mind as we now partake of the bread together. Let's have a prayer for the bread. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank you, Father, so much for your willingness to send your Son to this earth and to this earth and to this world. Thank you, Father, for his sacrifice on the cross, for his blood that was shed on our behalf. Thank you, Father, that the story doesn't end there, that after being buried for those 3 days, we know and we believe that he was raised and he's now at your right hand in heaven. Thank you, Father, for the hope that gives us as we look forward to his return. Help us, Father, at this time as we partake of the Lord's Supper to look inward, to examine ourselves, to acknowledge that we need your forgiveness. We need that continual cleansing that the blood of Christ provides for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we partake of the fruit of the vine, representing that precious blood that was shed on our behalf, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer once again. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your Son, for that precious, valuable blood that was shed on our behalf. And help us, Father, to partake in a way that is worthy, that is acceptable in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I really appreciate spending part of this Lord's Day with you, and may you have a blessed Lord's Day for the rest of this Sunday. Let's bow together for a closing prayer. Father in heaven, thank you again for all the blessings of this life. Father, we do thank you for all the physical blessings. Father, you've blessed us with the sunshine and the rain, Father, and all that it produces. Thank you for our food, Father, and shelter and clothing, the basic needs of this life. And Father, all the blessings far and beyond the basic needs of this life that you blessed us with. Pray, Father, that as we go out throughout the rest of this day and throughout the rest of this week, help us, Father, to live each day in a way that's pleasing to you. We need your strength and wisdom that only you can provide, Father, to live up to the high standard that you've set for us, to truly be the light of the world and the salt of the earth that you've called us to be. So be with us, Father. Help us to encourage one another and look to your word for nourishment and encouragement. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.